Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise God. God spoke to me. As I usually start, I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord where I should read in His Word for the morning prayer. And God always changes it. It's good. His ways aren't my ways, so that's a good thing too. But anybody having any issues in their journey, this is for all of us, whether you're a single person, family, body of Christ, that grace, body of Christ at large, people online, everybody, please heed the word this morning. Psalm 139, it's verse 13 to 18. This is really neat. We need to have that soak into our spirit today. For you form my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Go ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Yeah, Lord, we're just an awesome little word going forth. Penetrate our hearts with everything it needs to receive today, Father God. And I ask you, Lord, as we get into a way of serving you today, maybe said the least of these, and we're serving the least of these people. He says, you're serving me. So remember those type of things when we come this afternoon. Maybe we sit with somebody else that we don't know. But all of that is counted. Lord oversees all this whole situation, but he has to work and continue to work in our hearts, our minds. He says he's drawing us to him right now, and it's very important for all of us as we step out. There's a lot of needy people maybe coming in, but these doors are wide open because you're in control, Father God. You oversee everything, and says that we will rejoice. This is a blessed time. A gathering of people, people coming in from the world, and the thing is we can be a light, a shining light for them. So we lift this time up. We thank you for it. We lift up our pastor, Samantha Will and Kathy, and from here on and down through our leadership, every single one here is important. Worship team, as we sing to an audience, well, we're thankful for that, and we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Father, I thank you for your word, and I do ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Father, this is just a lot in these few verses to unpack. And I've been carrying the weight of this message for several days, and I just ask, Lord, that it will be clear. I ask you, Lord, to use me as your spokesperson. Father, I cannot do this without you. Lord, I confess to you my inadequacies. Yet I confess your word that says I can do all things through you who strengthen me. So, Lord, strengthen each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is it getting warm in here or is it just me? Is it? Yeah, we'll turn those fans up a little bit. And could you just go and turn the heat down, please? Those are all. You're sweating? What can I say? You can't please everybody. She's never warm. I know some people, they're never cold. You know, what can I say? For me, it's warm in here. There. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now, I want to back up a little bit. I want to back up to verse 8, where Paul was saying, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship of the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Now what Paul was saying right there is that these men who appeared to be pillars in the faith, now, he's not elevating them up on some pedestal, but he is saying that they were, even Jesus said about Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Didn't he say that? Didn't Jesus say that? So Peter and James and John were like pillars. They were mainstays in this newfound faith that had invaded Jerusalem and Israel. And Paul recognized that they were pillars, that they were strong, that they were ones that you could count on, all right? But then he goes on to say in verse 11, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. So in one hand, he's saying, hey, you know, Peter's one of those pillars, and then he turns around and said, and Peter's messing up. I want that just to sit on you for a minute. Peter, who was a pillar, is messing up. Does that sound familiar with anybody?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell you, you may look at me, you may look at Kathy as pillars in this church. Guess what? We mess up. We do. If you don't think I mess up, ask Kathy. She'll tell you. She'll tell you I mess up. You ask me if Kathy messes up, I'll tell you. She messes up. I won't tell you how, but she does mess up. Why? Because we do sin and we fall short of God's glory. So here Peter is saying in verse 12, he says, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, he being Peter, would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, the ones that came from James, he would withdrew and separate himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Now, what this is saying here is that Peter, he would eat with the Gentiles. He would sit down, he would eat with them and fellowship with them and live with them. But when Jews who were Christian would come, he separated himself from the Gentiles and would just be with the Christians. With the Jews, the Jewish Christians. There, we were both right. We were both right. And he would separate himself. And remember, there was this theology that was going around at the time that in order for you to be a Christian, this was for Gentiles, in order for a Gentile to become a Christian, they had to first become a Jew. Once you become a Jew, then you can become a Christian. So the Jewish faith was being looked upon as a gateway to Christianity, a gateway to salvation. There's only one gateway to salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
We need to get that solid right now in our belief system, all right? So, but Peter was caught up in this cultural battle. And it's interesting to note that Peter was caught up in this cultural battle when Peter was the one that God gave him the vision of. Remember in Acts about Acts chapter 10 and 11, I think it is, where the sheep were full of unclean things were brought down before Peter, and Peter was having this vision on a rooftop before dinner. I always thought that was kind of funny. He's having these visions, you know, and these dreams while he's hungry. And God brings down to him all of these unclean animals. And then God says to him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. You're hungry, aren't you, Peter? Rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, no, no, Lord. No, 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 I can't do that. Those are unclean things. I cannot defile myself with that. That vision happened three times. And God said to him, don't you ever, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, don't you ever call something unclean that I call clean. Don't you ever do that, Peter. And it was right after that that Peter was summoned to go to the house of Cornelius, who was a Roman. And he went to Cornelius, and Cornelius was kind of like, I don't know whether you really should come to my house. And Peter says, no, God showed me that it's okay. So this all was given to Peter, so that the Jewish Christians would understand in a deeper way that being Jewish is not important. What's important is Christ.
Right.
All right? So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I want you to see this. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Actually, I go to verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. When he said, keep your heart, he's saying, guard your heart. Guard it. Because out of it, and guard it with diligence, you know, be very detailed in how you govern and how you allow to come into your eye gates and your ear gates and your mind, you know. I ask you, we need to do that, amen? But, you know, so I ask you the question, I ask myself the question, what do I look at on the internet? What am I watching on TV? What kind of books am I reading? What kind of theology am I exposing myself to? You know, there's all kinds of stuff out there. We had some books that were given to the church, and without thinking, I just put them out on the free table, and now they're gone. But Dave Webb actually let me know that some of those books were a little wacky. And when I looked at them, they were. But we got rid of them. Why? Because we have to be owed to detail. The devil will come in very little tiny bits at a time, and he'll nip and nip and nip and nip. The scripture calls them adders. And next thing you know, your theology is all out of whack. And you're like, but it seems okay to you. Okay? Now here, Peter, back in Acts, in Galatians, you know, it says in verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, this is the crux right here. Truth of the gospel. Say that. Truth of the gospel. About the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Now, it's important to understand here. Now, here, I'm sorry, I just threw that in. I won't charge you extra for it. I never liked them anyways because they had coconut in them. You've eaten them, huh?
I don't like coconut.
Hey, all right, all right.
I like this.
Yeah, well, you're all right. Paul was confronting Peter publicly. Now, that's a very serious thing. And the only justification to it was the fact that Peter was perverting the gospel. He said in verse 14, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel," that word straightforward means to chart a direct positive course. But it's in the negative here because it's not straightforward. Peter, you're not being straightforward about the gospel. You know, we have all kinds of nuances in theology, amen? You know? I don't always believe, I probably don't see eye to eye with our elders, or they see eye to eye with me on every single jot and nuance, but we do agree on this, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do we all believe in that? Yeah, I hope you do. I hope you do stand on that. But I'm not going to give you a hard time if you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give you a hard time if you don't speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. I pray in the Spirit of God. But if you don't, that's okay. That's up to you. Between you and the Lord. Yeah, I would say you're probably missing something in your walk with the Lord. In that, but I'm not going to publicly confront you on something like that. I'm not going to publicly confront you on whether you believe tithing is right or wrong. I'm not going to confront you on that. Why? Because these things don't mean anything when it comes to your basic salvation, that ticket that brings you into heaven for all eternity. But when that starts getting perverted, there has to be someone that's willing to stand up and say, that's wrong. This is what the truth is. And that's what Paul was doing, was saying, Peter, you're not being straightforward with the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ came to us as God the Father sent Him, as God's the Son. We're talking about the physical man, Jesus, who is God in the flesh. He came to us in the form of a man. He lived 33 years on this face of this earth, did not sin one single time. And yet he was persecuted, he was spit on, he was eventually brought before Pilate, and he was put on trial, some trial that was, condemned to death by not by Pilate, but by the people, the very ones he came to see. The very ones he came to minister to, the very ones that he came to give salvation to, they turned on him. And they condemned him. Pilate washed his hands and said, you do to him as you see fit. I've washed my hands from him. Basically what he did was that he just gave them permission to go ahead and crucify him, which they did. Dragged him down through Via Dolorosa. People spitting on him. Lashing out on him. He's carrying the cross. He's already had that crown of thorns on him. He's been before the Roman soldiers, been beaten and hit, and just his body's already ripped apart. Then they threw him down on that cross, nailed him on it, and stood him up naked for all to see. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, not one time did he try to stop it. Not one time did he try to put the brakes on it. The whole time he completely, 100% submitted to that whole process of the most worst kind of death that could be devised by human beings. And he took it all. Then he was hanging on that cross. All the sin of this world was laid upon him. It said it got real dark. And Jesus cried out on that cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? The one thing you promised you would never do, and now you've broken your promise. And the reason the Father left him was because the Father could have nothing to do with sin. and all the sins of the world, including yours and mine, were laid upon him on that cross at that moment. And Jesus, in his godliness, could have stopped it at any time and chose not to. Why? Because he is the sacrificial Lamb of God. And he took it. And he finally said on that cross, he said, "It is finished." Which means it's now completed. It's done. This needs to be, by the church, protected. And not allow that message to get perverted in any way, shape, or form. Do I get an amen to that?
Amen.
That's what it is. And Peter was adding to it without really realizing it, I don't think. Peter, the one who received that vision from the Lord. Peter, who went to Cornelius and said, "Yeah, you're a Gentile, but that's okay. That's all right. I can come to you because the Lord made it clear that I can." It was that vision that caused the Jerusalem Council to make the determination that you do not, as a Gentile, have to become a Jew in order to be a Christian. And now here, Peter is perverting the gospel. I bring all that just to say to you, never look down on somebody who's messing up. Don't ever look down on it. But when it comes to the gospel, we have to publicly stand for truth. And that's what happened here. So here's a conversation that Paul had with Peter. He started it in verse 14, about halfway down the verse. He says, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh is justified." He's saying this straight to Peter and before them all. He was saying, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You're not justified by being a circumcised Jew. You're not saved in that. You're saved by how? You're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Not by the works of the law. Listen to me. You cannot earn your way to heaven.
No, you can't.
Here Paul was talking to Peter as a Jew, from a Jew to a Jew. A saved Jew to a saved Jew. A saved Jew that's trying to walk in the ways of the true theology, and to a Jew that was messing up. Listen to me. We need brothers and sisters to help steer us clear.
Yes, we do.
We need each other.
Yes.
That's why we come here. That's why we do Sunday morning church. You'll never know what church service God's going to use to profoundly change your life, but it definitely will not be the one you didn't show up at.
That's right.
I'm not saying that to lay any condemnation on anybody. I'm just simply saying the facts. I will do whatever I can do. Kathy and I have always had this. I remember when I worked 11 to 7 shift. I worked swing shift for 8 years. You want to have fun? Do that. 7 days in a row, 11 to 7, get a couple days off. Work 7 days in a row, 3 to 11, get a couple of days off. Work 7 days in a row, 7 to 3, get 4 days off. Then right back again. I didn't know when I was going to eat. I had no eating schedule. I had no sleeping schedule. I had no schedule. I just knew that the paper mill owned me. But I went to church. 11 to 7 shift, I'd come in, and I'd sit at home going like this. I know if I fall asleep, I ain't going to go. So I was like this, you know, and I'd have breakfast with Kathy, and Kathy do everything to keep me awake, you know, and have a couple of pots of strong coffee and on. And then we go to church. And Kathy had this really sharp elbow. I call it the stiletto elbow. I'd be sitting there, and I'm like this. I mean, this is good preaching. I mean, it's hard to fall asleep when you hear Michael Gamp preaching or some of the others we had at Agape. But I'd be going like this, and all of a sudden you feel this. Why? But I knew how important it was. I did not want to miss opportunity to be confronted by God. I didn't want to miss that opportunity. And I dare believe that every single Sunday, if we come with the attitude that I want to hear from God, you will. Mark my words. But Paul is saying here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus. Peter, even you and I have believed. We've believed. Why are you adding to your belief? Why are you causing others to add to their belief? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. The title of this message is The Temptation to Return. Peter was returning, without even realizing, I don't think, that he was returning back to the law. But no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. What Paul is saying here to Peter, he says, but while we seek to be justified by Christ, we all ourselves also are found sinners. See, that was the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The Jews didn't see themselves as Gentiles. They're just sinners. But Paul is saying, Peter, if we recognize the fact that we're only justified through the blood of Jesus, then we have to recognize that we're sinners too. And we cannot get to heaven by our Jewishness. We can't get to heaven by keeping the law, because quite frankly, Peter, we can't keep the law. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. But I happen to believe in the one who fulfilled the law.
That's right.
You see, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it.
That's right.
So when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I receive within me the power to fulfill the law. Because it's already fulfilled by him. So now it's a done deal when Jesus comes into my heart. And when I sin, which I do, don't tell them, Kathy, how. I do, and you do. There's one thing for sure, we're all in the same boat together, aren't we? When I sin, I have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? An advocate is an attorney. You see, I got an attorney. His name is Jesus. And the judge is the Father. And I have an advocate, an attorney that stands between me and the judgment seat. And he says, this is my client. He has received me as Lord and Savior, and I have paid the price for his sins. I've paid it to the court. So you got to let him go. And you know what God the Father says? You keep standing between him and me. I can't see anybody but you, Jesus. I go like this and you go like that too. And I'm just still looking at you. I can't see him. You see, that's what following Jesus is all about. When you have Jesus standing before you as your advocate, see, I want to get just as close as I possibly can. You know, You know, do me a favor. Would you come up here? This is.
I knew this was coming. I was going to say Jesus
was. Well, I got to pick on somebody big, you know? All right? So this is, he's going to play the part as Jesus. And he's my advocate. I've hired him. How? Because I received him as my Lord and Savior. So now I'm right behind him. Right? Now, some of you, like over this way, you can't see me at all. But see, when God, the Father, goes a little bit to his right, the advocate goes a little to the right, and I'm sticking right straight with him, man. I'm telling you, because I don't want the Father, I don't want the judge to see me. Actually, Jesus is the judge, I realize that. But you play along with me, okay? You know, and I don't want him to see me. Thank you. Go sit down. You see what I mean? All right, these little visuals, they're fun. But it's the point that I want to make here. The Father sees me through Jesus. He sees the impure Matthew through the purity of Christ. That's the whole point of the law, is the law is not a way of living perfect. The law was given to us to show us where we can't be perfect and that we mess up. It is the revealer of sin. If you have no law, you have no revelation. You have no revealing. I can get down here, and this morning I had to go down to Alltown. And when I pulled off Ashwood Street and I turned around, and you know, there was a police officer, state police, that was parked down there. You know, he's there every Sunday morning, from what I understand. And he's nailing people. Why? Because they come around that corner from Ashwood, and they're booking along. You know, it says all of a sudden it changes to 30 miles an hour, and they're booking along at about 45, 50 miles an hour. And he's got his radar set, and meep, 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 meep. And he turns on his blue lights, and people don't even chase him. He just turns on the blue lights. These people just pull over right behind him. He gets out and gets him a ticket. He gets him a ticket. Why? Because they were breaking the law. How did they know they were breaking the law? Because the speed limit says 30, not 50. But you're going 50. My radar says you were going 50. You broke the law. But you see, if there was no law, then there's nothing to break. If the people who decide what the speed limit is never put any speed signs up, they can't give you a ticket because there's nothing that says you were breaking the law. You understand that? The law is what tells you. And I don't know about you, but I have a real difficulty when I see those speed signs. Kathy will say, "You're speeding." Well, it's only 5 miles over the speed limit. It's called grace. Don't explain that to the police officer. You know. But we do. We have that tendency. I'm not alone in that, right? That you see a speed sign, you want to go faster. When it says 30, you want to go 40. Right. If it says 50, you want to go 60. I loved it when we were out, Kathy and I, we were on that trip, and we were out west, and you know, they had speed signs out there on the interstate saying 80 miles an hour. I'm going, 80 miles an hour? I'm pulling a 30-foot camper, and you know what I want to do? I want to go 85. I'm in all realism, I did keep it about 70, pulling the camper. If I didn't have that camper, it might have been a different story. Paul, let me finish this up. Paul said in verse 17, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners." You understand that? Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. He's the Savior from sin. "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." What Paul is saying here, that if I'm going to build those things which I've destroyed, if I'm going to go back to the law, if I'm going to build that up when I've been destroying that and coming into the grace of the Lord, then I become not just a sinner, but a transgressor, which is worse than a sinner. He says, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." So I to the law, I've died to the law, so I'm not going to resurrect the law. Then he goes on to say, and I love this, I challenge you to memorize this, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. The law makes no difference to me anymore. Because when I am crucified in Christ, that means that I do not live anymore. Christ lives in me. Therefore, I am going to do, listen to me, the devil's going to make you and try to make you do all kinds of things against the scriptures and against the will of the Lord. And when you recognize he's trying to get you to do something that's against God's word, what you need to do is just the opposite of what Satan is trying to tell you.
That's right.
We sometimes have this is kind of a weird way of looking at it. But you got a weird pastor. So what can I say? We have this tendency to, and I know I'm not the only one. We have this tendency to rebel against that which we're told to do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That came fast from you. Man, I didn't get the words out of my mouth. She go, oh, yeah, man. We have this habit, we have this tendency that when we're told to do something, we want to do just the opposite. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So rather than pay attention to what God is saying that you have to do, which the automatic rebellion against that wells up, look at it in this way. Satan's trying to get you to do something. Rebel against him. Don't rebel against the Lord, because that's a losing battle. You rebel against the enemy, and that's a winning battle. Because whatever the devil tries to get you to do, if you do just the opposite, you will walk in the will of the Lord. But the only way you're going to know what the will of the Lord is to know his word.
Right.
Because it's this right here that will give you the discernment as to the voice of the Lord or the voice of the enemy. Right. If you do not know this, and you don't spend time in an intimate fashion with God in prayer and fellowship with him in the word, then you're going to have a hard time distinguishing between the voice of the enemy and the voice of our Savior. Because the voice of the enemy will masquerade himself as an angel of light. He'll come across as God, because that's what he wants to be in your life anyways. And it's up to you. God has given you, and he's given me, the ability to study his word and to walk in his ways. And that's up to you. It's up to me. I don't want to hear somebody say, I'm not smart enough. Because you've got the mind of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Has Jesus Christ does he dwell in your heart? Have you opened your heart and asked him to come into your heart? Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The Bible says, not Matthew, not Pastor Matthew, but the Bible says that the mind of Christ is imparted to you. It's an impartation. Now what you have to do is to take the mind of Christ and begin to fill it up with the words of Christ.
That's right.
And when you begin to fill it up with the words of Christ, the discernment that God wants to give you will begin to manifest in you, and you'll begin to understand when the devil's telling you one thing, but you know what God is saying in the other. So don't be so concerned about being obedient to God if you will be concerned about rebelling against the devil. Because if you rebel against the devil, guess what? You'll be obedient to the Lord. Amen? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen, it's by faith.
That's right.
Because I am not a marionette. And God's pulling the strings. That's not it. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? You just pull the strings and I'll go. That's not it. When it says I'm crucified with Christ, that means that I identify with what he went through on the cross. and what that means for me. That it's not just that he was crucified for me. But Paul says here, I have been crucified with him. I want to identify with Christ to the place where I feel the pain. I recognize to a depth, a new depth of what he did for me, what he went through for me, and the fact that he never stopped it. Why? Because he loves me so much. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Are you a whosoever? Then you can read it this way. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I will just believe in him, I will not perish, but I will have everlasting life. See, you have to make the scriptures personal. Otherwise, it's just words in a book. Very old book. And still, even in this world that is so perverted, this is still the best-selling book of all time.
Amen.
So if it's the best-selling book of all time, get to know it.
That's right.
Let's pray. Father, I thank and I praise you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Father, this is we're on the brink of Thanksgiving. And we're going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner here and inviting the town. And there's going to be 140, 150, 160 people coming in here for Thanksgiving dinner. Lord, we are so thankful for what you did for us on the cross. And I'm going to ask you, if you would like to pray along with me this morning, that you would just pray this prayer. I call it a prayer of salvation. Lord Jesus, I need you. I recognize this morning
what you did
for me
on the cross.
I confess to you, I'm a sinner,
and
I cannot save myself.
I need you.
So I open my heart,
and I ask you to come in.
Take residence
in my heart
and in my life.
I give over to you now
full authority of my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am right now saved, and your spirit has come into me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, or if you prayed that to rededicate your life to the Lord, would you be willing to raise your hand? Anyone? Hallelujah. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Whoa. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
If you do not have a Bible, please see Jim. Jim, raise your hand. Jim is elder. Tom back there, raise your hand. John back there, he's sitting there next to the stack of Bibles. John sitting there knocking the Bibles over. So you might get a slightly dented Bible this morning. In all seriousness, if you do not have a Bible, please do not leave here without one. We got some nice Bibles, we give them away. We have more in a closet if there's not enough out on the stand there. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
December 8th, we're having water baptism. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you dedicated your life and you've not been water baptized, please see me after the service. It's of vital importance to be water baptized. So you can see me after the service. It's going to be pandemonium here, so I'm going to go towards my office and you can talk with me there. All right? Let's stand. Now, when we finish the service, we need help to move all these chairs and stack them off to the side. We've got to get tables in here. And begin the process of setting this room up to be a banquet hall for tonight. Many hands make light work.
Amen.
All right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that can only come by receiving him as Lord and Savior. That peace that comes by rebuking the devil and walking in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you need prayer, come on up.